Yeah. Get to work. Bam, bam, bam. Hard hat. Yeah. Hands. Like a real man. Get in there and do some work. Bam, bam. Bam, da, da, da. Doom, do, da, ding. Ding, da, ga, do, ga, da, da, ticka, doom, ba, da, ba.
Bing, I should see how long you're willing to go with this.
Right, and how many different variations I can come up with, because I'm kind of getting low on them, you know?
Yeah. So anyway, you almost won Game of Games.
I should have won that game.
I mean, you choked, really, is what happened.
I mean, it's kind of like losing a college basketball game 58-57. You know, you battled the entire time, and you wind up losing by 1 point. It just sucks. That's kind of where I was just now. I was tied till the very end. And lost it on the last chance to dance.
Yeah.
Shame.
Yeah.
I don't know. Tell you one thing, though, George. I am impressed with Chris, who tells everybody he's got to go back to work right now. I am so surprised how many angry-ass people there are when the stream doesn't work.
Yeah.
Like, I understand that people who don't listen in their car on the radio probably use their phone and the app to get the show. But man, oh man, the amount of reaction on Twitter, like, somebody's getting fired. What's wrong with you guys? Hey, look, we're going through a little bit of a construction transition. It took 2 days. Lighten up, Francis. My gosh.
No, don't do that. Like, those are the customers. We should be doing better. We should have done it quicker.
Okay, yeah, you know what? Screw it. All right, you guys are right to complain. Go ahead. Kvetch all you want. Go ahead.
That's what I'm saying. They have every right to be upset.
It's somebody's fault. Yeah, yes. I don't know whose, but it's somebody's.
I mean, it's not you and my...
No, I got nothing to do with it.
You know, it's not Laura's fault. It's not Lindsay's fault, but no. It's somebody's fault.
Whoever's fault it is, you know.
I mean, let's just blame Bergman. It's what everybody else does.
Yeah, that's fine. He'll take it, too. He don't care.
Yeah.
He don't mind.
I mean, he's responding to, like, everybody on Twitter. It's like, bro, you don't have to respond to everybody, though. Like, you know.
You know what would be
it's
a better idea?
Fault. Don't worry.
No, you know what
there
would be a
better
idea?
There you go,
idea?
See?
No, Bergman, I got a better idea. That rather what? Than blaming it on
deal.
You.
That is rare.
Wait, say that again?
I said he actually took the L.
I've learned from you, Sedona. Whenever something goes wrong, it is my fault.
Just say it. It's my fault.
Yeah, it's my fault.
But you know there what, you Bergman? I was about to get you off the hook.
You've
I was
grown,
suggest,
Bergman.
I suggest we blame Russell Westbrook.
Can do that a lot to also.
I mean, why not?
We're very similar.
Right. We blame
everyone blames him.
Yeah.
Do you also have small hands?
No.
How do you know?
My fault.
How do I know if Greg has small hands?
No, how does he know?
How does Greg know he has small hands? They're his hands.
Right, but compared to what?
Russell Westbrook.
Yeah, Russell Westbrook has small hands.
Okay, Greg.
That's why he loses the ball when he goes up a ton.
Is that the case?
Yes.
Okay. Small hands.
NBA people will tell you that. But when he was so athletic that he was like three steps ahead of everybody and so fast, you know, it didn't matter because, you know, he didn't have to worry about like gripping the ball a certain way. He could like literally carry it like a football and then yam it. But then now it's like everybody's with him because he's no longer the fastest guy on the floor.
Mm-hmm. Well, again, I'm just coming up with ideas as to who we could blame. My fault. But I was thinking about maybe we'd blame Russ, maybe we'd blame LeBron. I don't know, maybe we'd blame Rob Pelinka for the audio on the app, the stream being down yesterday. It's okay. Rob Pelinka's fault.
I mean, everybody seems to blame Frank Vogel for everything. So.
Yeah, him too. Frank Vogel's fault too.
Yeah.
Genie's fault.
Yeah.
Everybody.
Genie was so happy for a second yesterday.
For a second.
Yeah, when LeBron was drilling threes, right, and just, like, gave them, like, a six-point lead in the fourth quarter, and everybody was feeling good, you know, and then, I was watching, no disrespect to our pals, Billy Mack and Stu and Mike Trudell. I was watching on TNT because Ian Eagle was on, and every time Ian Eagle's on, I got to watch.
Yep, same.
And, you know, he was like, timeout, Mavericks, and I was like, wow, here we go. Look at this. The Lakers are going to win a game, you know, because remember at the end of the show we said yesterday because we ended early, obviously, for the Lakers. And you were like, what do you think? And I'm like, nah, the Mavericks are going to win. But you posed it like in a ridiculous fashion. You were like, do the Lakers win a close one or the Mavericks blow them out? And I'm like, well, no, I don't think either, to be honest with you. But I said, I think the Mavericks win, like probably a close one. And then they did, unfortunately.
I said blowout versus close one because I kind of figured that the Lakers had a really close one against the Clippers. then got blown out by the Pelicans. And this one could go in either direction. Either they play a really close game or they get blown out. When LeBron started hitting deep threes, I was like,
you felt good. About your prediction saying they'd win.
I was like, yeah, I was about to start tweeting, like, I told you they were going to win.
Yeah.
Good thing
but
I did.
You held off,
yeah,
which was smart.
Yeah. Yeah, I did.
Because the last 7.5 minutes, they scored 4 points.
I know. Brutal. Just brutal, man. I mean, to fight back. Because, listen, when you go, if you were watching the game on TNT, like I know I was, you said you were as well. When Shaquille O'Neal at halftime pretty much calls the Lakers a bunch of quitters,
yeah,
I'm like, okay, you know what? He's kind of, I think he's got a legit gripe. That's his perspective.
Yeah. And for those that didn't hear it, I guess, Laura, I know we have that sound. We were going to play it at 4:15. Thanks, Cap, for not reading
the rundown.
No,
we can play it later. I mean,
no,
it's
okay. It's fine.
It's not that important right now.
Go ahead.
I just was making my point that if you were watching it like we were watching and you were watching on TNT and Shaq says he thinks the Lakers are a bunch of quitters, at halftime you might think, you know, he's got something. But then the Lakers come out firing in the third quarter and you're like, well, putting it in Shaq's face. And then the fourth quarter happens and you're like, I'm not sure that they're quitters just as much as these dudes don't have the fuel in the tank because they're, like Barkley says, old geezers.
Yeah, they ran out of gas, man. That's what happened. Like, they basically what ended up happening at the end of that game was, okay, we got the lead, and then here come the Mavericks. They're like, all right, we're a good team. No, we have one of the best players in the world. You know, he's 23 years old. His birthday was 2 days ago. And we're going to see what happens. And then Luka put them on his back and scored some buckets, got some guys easy buckets too. And basically, he did what LeBron did for many, many years. And then basically, but he did get the help, right? Like, there was enough threats on the floor where even if you, because they were trying to take the ball out of Luka's hands. And Luka just kept finding guys that were open, even when he didn't make the shots. And he made some tough ones. He made a couple of those teardrops over LeBron. And meanwhile, it was basically like, all right, LeBron, save us.
Yeah, right.
Like, it felt like that as I watched the game. It was everybody just standing around looking at LeBron. Well, you hit all those threes. Can you keep hitting some more?
And nobody's like, hey, Luka's 23, and we understand why he's still feeling good late into the game, and you're 37, and we understand why you're falling apart or running out of gas. I don't know that anybody's looking at that going, well, you know, Luka's a young kid. LeBron's an older guy. Like, that's LeBron. He's got on a uniform. He's on the floor. He was part of the big comeback. We're expecting you to carry the team to victory. And it just didn't happen. And now,
wait, but I mean, so you think that, like, you're blaming LeBron for not finishing
the game? No. I'm just saying that we all have an expectation that when it comes down to it, there's one guy that's going to take over and there's one guy that's going to put everybody on his back and win it for the
team. I mean, he got you a 6-point lead. Like, somebody's got to do something else at that point, too. Like, he can't just do it all by himself. And that was the problem.
Yeah, but there was a run in the third quarter where there were a lot of the younger guys that made big contributions to that run. I'm not trying to say that LeBron didn't help bring them back because he did. Because that logo three that he hit was a bomb. I mean, it was beyond Steph Curry range. I mean, it was incredible. And then he came back down and he hit another big three. So LeBron was contributing to the comeback, obviously. And then he helped take the lead. But, I mean, when it's all said and done, I don't know that anybody's looking at it going, that kid's 23, that old dude over there is 37, and therein lies the difference. Because I don't know that we really use LeBron's age as an excuse, but running out of gas, that is kind of like an old thing. That's kind of an old guy deal.
Of course, because he's an old guy.
Yeah. Yep, it's just not the same LeBron, I guess. Hard for me to believe.
Accept. After LeBron, the 20-foot step back, which I thought was a bad shot, I was like, what are you doing shooting from there? And he nails it. There's 94-90. Then Carmelo hits a three. Russ gets an easy shot at the basket. And LeBron with the assist. And then everything from there was all Mavericks, basically. It was ridiculous. Like, it was crazy.
Yeah, it's even for someone like myself who still is, like, holding out hope, like, you know, it's LeBron, he's going to find a way, they're going to make it in, they'll win a game,
the Lakers
win a big series.
4 minutes, Cap, without scoring. Four minutes.
I know.
In the fourth quarter.
And this is what I'm getting at. Someone as optimistic as me, someone who's a believer, even I'm having a hard time right now trying to sell myself, let alone everybody else, that they're not quite done yet. I mean, three straight losses coming out of the break. One's a close one. One's a blowout. Another one's a close one. And then they got the Clippers coming up, and the schedule's getting worse, not getting easier.
I mean, but we talked about this. Like, this is what you didn't expect this? Like, we told you they have one of the hardest schedules, and not the hardest schedule left.
No, I'm aware of what the schedule is, but I was thinking that by this time, you know, you might win one of three. Is that asking too much? I mean, one of the first three?
Maybe. Yeah.
I mean, the New Orleans
game. I mean, the Pelicans game was the game.
Right.
To win, yeah.
Man, it's bad news, Jack. Yeah. Really bad news.
Sí, muy malo.
Sí.
Sí.
Who's Jack?
Jack is kind of like nobody necessarily. That, you know, it's sort of rhetorical. It's kind of like a thing a Dusty Rhodes might say. He might just, you know, hey, these guys are in bad shape, Jack. So you don't have to say like a name, you know, like you're talking to somebody named Jack. You just call him Jack, like you might say brother rather than brother.
Okay. I thought you were talking to your dog.
I thought you were talking about like a little ditty, like Jack and Diane or something.
Oh,
you know?
Okay.
Like John Cougar.
Mellencamp.
Yeah. I think he was just John Cougar then, though.
It's possible. It's possible. He dropped
two American
the Cougar
kids growing up in the heartland, you know.
Jackie wants to be a football star.
Yeah. Diane's debutante backseat of Jackie's car.
Oh, yeah. Life goes on.
No, there's something about a chili dog after that. No. Then like,
sucking on chili dog outside the taste of freeze.
There you go. Right. There you go. And something about sitting on Jackie's lap or something.
Yeah, she's sitting on Jackie's knees.
Yeah. No, he's not sitting on knees. He's got her hand between her knees.
Oh, Jackie got
his
hand.
You know, it gets a little testy there, you know, Jack and Diane. I mean, but they're kids and they're in love, you know, so.
Hey, look, it's like Sedano and Cap Bingo. You know, I'm going to screw up all the words to the song. There you go.
The Sedano and Cap Bingo is like a real funny thing, by the way. Royce Tony, it was tweeted yesterday, retweeted by me. The ESPN Los Angeles account tweeted it. So all that stuff, if you didn't see it, you should see it. All right, coming up next, LeBron did have some comments yesterday that should make you, I guess, feel better. And Frank Vogel had some today. But this moral victory stuff, no one's buying that. And I'm glad that the team isn't embracing that either, because I felt like some media members were trying to do that. Well, at least they didn't get blown out this time. It's like, come on, stop with that. It's not what this team is. All right, we'll get to that next.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
There you go, Kaplan.
See that right there? Let's do two American kids in the heartland, right?
Yeah.
Can you turn this up a little bit more?
Football star, I ain't going to be the debutante in the back of his car.
All right, here we go. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Life goes on.
No, no. No, the chili dog part.
Yeah, here it comes. Sucking on chili dog.
There you go.
All right, what happens after this?
Diane sitting on Jack's lap, got his hands between the knees.
Right.
There you go. Jack says,
want to run off and
Now he does the chorus.
Yeah, here we go.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Life goes on long after the thrill of living is gone. Saying, oh, yeah, life goes on long after the thrill of living is gone. They walk on.
Tell you what, right now, tell you something right now. If we ever decided that we really wanted to become singers and do a duet, we may not have our timing necessarily right, but, man, we can carry the hell out of a tune.
No, we can't. Absolutely not.
You don't think so? You don't think?
I think your John Mellencamp sounds a little bit like your Bob Dylan.
Yeah, it's also your Tom Petty. It's basically everything you do.
It's pretty much, it's just like my grungy thing that I do when I don't know the words.
Yeah. Hey, so tomorrow, before I get back to the Lakers, tomorrow I'm doing a Mason and I are playing Jeopardy against each other, and I'm going to be the Jeopardy host, okay?
Okay, all right.
So I'm going to have five categories. I'm like a gazillion real Jeopardy categories.
Who would you say that you model your Jeopardy hosting skills after? Aaron Rodgers, Mayim Bialik? Are we talking, you know, the great Alex Trebek. Who would you say you model your...
I mean, listen, I would love to be Alex Trebek, but I'm definitely not Alex Trebek. That's for
okay.
sure.
So, yeah. All right. All right.
So, nonetheless, mm-hmm. Would you like to get... Laura, do we have Jeopardy music? I'm curious. Okay, because that'd be great if we had Jeopardy music.
It'd be lovely.
Yeah, it would be lovely. And I think that we could play... I have like an easy category here for you.
Oh, for me?
Yeah. I mean, okay. Let's be real. It's not like you're going to be this guy who's good at Jeopardy.
I mean, I'm pretty good at sports Jeopardy.
Yeah, but again, these aren't sports categories for the most part.
All right.
All right, so I'm going to do place your fast food order. These are actual Jeopardy categories, okay?
Okay.
Now, let your name be your buzzer. Let all three of you play, okay?
Okay. All right.
Lindsay's a little bit on a delay, though. That's probably not going to be helpful for her, but okay.
That's okay. But, I can overcome it.
Okay.
You do it,
all right.
Lindsay.
So first category, all right? In place your fast food order. So remember, I'm going to tell you the fast food order, and you're going to tell me the answer.
Okay.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So, I'm, you know, basically, I will tell you the order, and you will tell me the location. Okay?
Okay. Mm-hmm.
A mocha frappe.
Cap.
Lindsay.
Cap.
What is Starbucks?
That is incorrect.
Lindsay.
Lindsay.
What is Wendy's?
That is incorrect.
Laura.
Laura.
What is McDonald's?
McDonald's it is.
You got that right.
It was, I didn't finish, but a mocha frappe and a filet of fish. See, if you would have let me finish, you would have you would have known probably McDonald's.
I know,
guess.
But it's, you know, you got to jump in if you want to try and win this game.
I understand.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I get it.
Gotta take a risk.
All right, you ready for the second question?
Yeah.
Okay. A drumstick and thigh fill
Lindsay.
Up. Lindsay.
What is KFC?
KFC is correct.
See, she jumped right in. Good
so
job,
Laura and Lindsay on the board. Kaplan, as you usually do in these games, not so great. So.
Well, I mean, but we're getting into the higher range here of dollars. Maybe I'm just saving it up.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. So the third question. A meatball marinara foot long and an
Cap.
Italian. I heard Lindsay first.
No way, man. I got that.
I think it was Cap. Sorry, Lindsay.
Okay. Cap, go.
All right. I'm taking Subway. What is Subway?
Subway is correct.
No, you don't get it right because you didn't say what is
McDonald's. What is Subway? Oh, that's true. You got to say what is Subway.
Yeah.
Sorry. All right.
You mean when I said Subway and
then
I said
what is
Subway?
Well, Laura was next. Laura was next. Go ahead, Laura.
What is Subway?
What is Subway? Laura's got two.
Yeah. Weak.
I always do that, Cap, and I always get so mad because I don't get points.
I've done it too. Yeah.
All right. Here's the next one.
All right.
Black pepper Angus steak and some Beijing beef.
Cap. What is Manchu wok?
Laura.
No. Laura.
What is Panda Express?
That is correct. Panda Express.
I'm a fatty, man.
I couldn't get Panda Express. I don't know what Manchu wok is. Does anybody know what that is?
Yeah.
Is that
I don't
a place?
Know what that is either.
Is Manchu wok a place?
Last one. A Chalupa Supreme.
Laura.
What is Taco Bell?
That is Taco Bell. That is correct. Laura cleans up the category.
Wow, Laura, you
crushed
us. I'm
a fatty, dude. I used to weigh 500 pounds. Come on. I was like,
we can play some more later.
Yeah, I like it. I like it, George.
We can play some more later. Because I'm not joking. There, on this website, there are 1, 2, 3, 4. There's like 20 categories, and then there's like 1,700 pages.
Wow.
On each page. I mean, 20 categories on each page and 1,700 pages. So.
That's a great category, though. You give the fast food order, and you got to decide where it comes from. That's a good one.
Yeah. Well, this is a good one. I'll punch you. I should have played that with you. We should have played that one with you, actually.
Whoa.
Wait, I'll punch you as in...
What
as
are
in,
the
I'm
questions
gonna,
about?
I'm going to punch you bleep face?
Famous fights or something?
A collection of crowdsourced questions, answered in Jeopardy. Okay, hold on. Let me see.
Come on, give us the I'm going to punch you category. That sounds
good. That sounds fun.
Sounds better than the
Okay,
Lakers.
Let's do that. All right, play the music one more time.
All right, let's do it.
All right, ready?
Yeah.
All right. Three-word phrase meaning to do regular work at regular hours, maybe a little too regular.
Okay.
I'll repeat it one more time. Three-word phrase meaning to do regular work at regular hours, maybe a little too regular.
Lindsay. Is it like punching the clock or something?
That is correct.
Oh,
yes. Yes. There you go.
That's good. Yeah.
So there you go. You see? So the word the
punch
word has
to
punching in it. Right. Yeah. Or punch or some variation of punch.
Okay. Keep going.
Hold on. Mason is texting me. I think you should make our questions tough. World history, literature. Let's make it tough. I am going to make it tough, Mason. I'm doing this question. I know you're in the studio right now, but I'm doing these. Okay. All right. Next one here.
All right,
this one is tough, I think. Hotels in St. Louis and in Charleston, South Carolina have been credited with giving this rum drink its name.
Cap. What is a Hawaiian punch?
No, that is incorrect. Hawaiian punch in St. Louis and Charleston.
I just made something up with the word punch in it.
What the hell is wrong with you?
I needed something with punch.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Planter's punch.
Planter's punch. Of course, naturally. Sure, of course.
The name of the drink is Planter's punch.
Okay.
Okay. Right. Here we go. Is what you say now, and is even on the car's company's website, striking another contestant not required? I'll say it again. It's what you say now, and is even on the car's company website, striking another contestant not required. It's a game you played as a kid. I'll give you guys a hint. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. What is punch buggy?
No, got nothing. Got
punch
nothing.
Buggy, no return.
Oh,
you don't
punch
play
buggy,
that.
Right.
Yeah.
Punch back.
Yeah.
All right. Next one.
Yeah.
The punch in this expression, meaning absolutely delighted, is Judy's husband.
Lindsay. What is punch drunk?
No. Five,
who?
Four,
who
three.
Is Cap?
Cap.
Who is punchy?
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
I mean,
one.
It sounds fun, but
please,
no.
This punch is
oh,
the
please,
first.
This punch. Oh, wasn't there a character in Ray Donovan and his name was Punchy?
Yeah, maybe. I don't
maybe.
Know. I don't watch
maybe
Ray
not.
Donovan.
Maybe not.
All right, last one. To accomplish more than seemed likely based on one's ability.
Lindsay. What is a puncher's chance?
Nice.
No, that is incorrect.
Ooh.
You're on the right path. To accomplish more than seemed likely based on one's abilities. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. All right. Punch above one's weight.
Nah, I never heard that.
Me neither.
What? You've never heard that saying?
Nope.
No.
I have.
No, I don't think so.
Punched above one's weight? No, not heard that.
Punching above your weight?
I've heard Lindsay's. I thought I was it.
I thought so too.
All
right.
Like, wow,
we can
Lindsay.
Play later. All right, real quick. We'll play
we
more
play
later.
This all day.
Since we're going to be doing this with Mason in Ireland tomorrow. All right, so there was a lot of talk yesterday in the media, right? Like, short of, well, at least the Lakers showed some life in the second half. And I feel like that is such loser talk and beneath the Los Angeles Lakers. Not that I'm saying they did it, because they did not do it, but it is beneath them. Like, any media person who said that, like, I honestly, like, if I could give them the side eye, I would. And I'm glad I wasn't the only one that felt that way. Like, so Perk, our buddy Perk, was on NBA today, along with Matt Barnes. And they kind of just weighed in on that conversation. Go ahead, play it, Laura.
But just think about what we're saying right now. We're talking about a team full of veterans, and we actually congratulating them for competing. We're like,
but that's what
that's a sad moment. Right. Like, we're actually congratulating a group of veterans with a bunch of Hall of Famers for competing.
To me, the key, and there's no moral victories in this, but the key was mixing in some of those younger guys because they need that Stanley Johnson
that's
that can Baze more energy.
Yeah, no, I'm not buying that. I'm with Perk on that.
But, you know, you say it's beneath them, but the fact of the matter is they've been so bad. And you know, like Russell Westbrook said after the game, he's like, you know, I'm still confident. We've beaten some of the best teams and we've lost to some of the worst teams. And I was thinking to myself, which of the best teams did you guys really beat? Like, I'm trying to think. Miami earlier in the season, Utah.
They did beat Utah a couple times.
So right, but seriously, the way Russ made it, saying, like, we lost to some bad teams, we beat some good teams. Like, not really. You guys really haven't beaten that many good teams.
I'll say this. I thought LeBron had the best message of the night last night. We'll have that for you on the other side. Plus, another great national day today. We'll get into that. Stick around. We're back in 2 minutes and 45 seconds.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
A, B, C. 1, 2, 3. That little new addition.
Little candy girl for you right here. Yeah. Yeah.
The debut in 1983 today.
What year?
1983.
Yeah. Oh, it was a big year of my life, George.
What happened that you get bar mitzvah or something?
You know it, pal. That's right. The bar mitzvah boy. You're talking to him right here.
Oh, okay.
You're talking to the bar mitzvah boy from 1983.
There you go.
Candy
girl. I was only like 3 years old still on March 2nd, 1983. No, actually check that. I was 6 years old. Sorry.
Should have come to my bar mitzvah.
I mean, maybe. You didn't invite me.
It was just up the road a little bit, you know?
Right, yeah. It's fair. It's
seriously.
True.
You were in Miami. I was in Lauderdale.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Don't get it twisted. I was in Hialeah. That's like basically saying I lived in East LA, bro.
Yeah. You know? I was in Plantation.
You were not exactly in Hialeah or East LA, East LA version of Miami.
I was at the Holiday Inn in Plantation, where I was.
Yeah.
Had a bar mitzvah at a Holiday Inn.
Yeah.
Gives you an idea of what was going on.
Yeah. So, real quick. Today is also National Egg McMuffin Day.
Ooh.
Now, I, at one point in my life, was a huge breakfast sandwich person. I don't eat breakfast very much anymore because of my intermittent fasting. Although, it doesn't mean I don't eat breakfast food. I just don't eat a lot of breakfast, actual breakfast during breakfast time very often. And then, I don't have a ton of breakfast sandwiches either anymore because I try to limit my, my bread intake. I occasionally do indulge, and I do love a good breakfast sandwich. And I don't – I'll tell you this, an old-school Egg McMuffin, pretty damn good.
Hard to beat. I mean, like, you got to realize, like, an Egg McMuffin is like a slice of cheese pizza. If you walk into a pizza shop, you start with a slice of cheese because that sets the benchmark. Mm-hmm. An Egg McMuffin is the benchmark of a McDonald's breakfast because then you got to move on. Because I'll tell you right now, the greatest breakfast sandwich on the planet is a McDonald's sausage, egg, and cheese McMuffin. Now, I know that might be very controversial. I know
sausage,
I've just made
egg, and cheese?
Right. Sausage, egg, and cheese McMuffin.
Yeah.
Now, look, a sausage, egg, and cheese biscuit at McDonald's or a bacon, egg, and cheese biscuit at McDonald's also
see,
a
I don't
very
mind,
good sandwich.
I don't mind a McMuffin because I like the English muffin.
Right. So do I.
Yeah.
But the sausage, egg, and cheese McMuffin has now far surpassed the actual English muffin.
Yeah,
or the Egg McMuffin, but the one
you say because of the biscuit, you think the biscuit is
no, it's a sausage, egg, and cheese McMuffin, so it's still an egg. It still uses
but it's the same thing except it has
sausage instead of bacon, right?
No, sausage instead of Canadian.
An Egg McMuffin is well, oh, because an Egg McMuffin is just the egg and the English muffin. Correct?
No, it's the egg, the English muffin. It's Canadian bacon and it.
Oh, Canadian bacon. Right. That's what it is.
And
right.
I will tell you, I think it's a slice of American cheese as well.
Yeah?
You know? But what I love about
I thought you'd
that,
have to order the cheese separately.
I don't think so. I think it comes
standard. I could be wrong. I haven't had one, as I mentioned, in a very, very long time.
But the
time.
Best part...
Are you sure that your dad didn't have you put the slice of cheese on it when you got home?
Good question. An Egg McMuffin could have been 49 cents, but without cheese, it might have been 39 cents, and my dad may have made me put the cheese on when I got home. But the best part about an Egg McMuffin is the way the egg is cooked, that the yolk is like dry, it's not runny. Mm-hmm. You know, I love an Egg McMuffin. I love a sausage, egg, and cheese McMuffin. I've graduated at times to a what do they call the one with the pancake on the top and the bottom and then
McGriddle.
The McGriddle.
McGriddle.
See, that was a brilliant idea. That was a brilliant concept. No,
like
it was
those.
because it was syrup with pancakes and sausage. That was a brilliant concept. It's just a very sweet breakfast sandwich.
Yes.
You know, it's like a dessert.
My brothers love it. I'm not a sweet tooth person, so I stick with the regular stuff. I love McDonald's breakfast.
Yeah. Egg McMuffin. Good. Happy National Egg McMuffin Day, everybody. If I would have known about it earlier, I'd have had a couple.
You're trying to lose weight, bro.
That's true. You're right. Maybe I had a couple bites. That's true. You're right. I am trying to lose weight.
I mean, yeah, but there's nothing wrong with it. I love a good breakfast sandwich. An Egg McMuffin is the OG of breakfast sandwiches, for
it
sure.
Is.
All right, real quick. So, look, we were talking about no moral victories or whatever for the Lakers. And so Dave McMiniman actually started to ask the question about it. And I remember watching this, and he was like, and he said specifically, I know you're not into moral victories to LeBron. And then he starts talking, and he's like, no. You may want to ask another question. He's like, no, let me finish. And he's like, no. I don't do moral victories. He's like, I know. I just said you don't do moral victories. It was actually kind of a funny exchange. And then I guess the follow-up question was basically about, like, all right, well, you know, there's not a lot of time. You guys are kind of floundering here. Like, you know, how do you, you know, what do you do? Like, how do you get out of the funk, basically? And here's what LeBron said.
Because we still have games to play. Until you stump me out, cut my head off, bury me 12 feet under, then I got a chance. So that's my confidence. You know, obviously, you know, at the end of the day, we got to come in and win ball games, and we got to play better. But as long as we got more games to play, we still have a chance. You know, I hate losing. I feel like poop right now. But tomorrow's a new day.
Do you like that better than the Russ answer that you were talking about earlier?
You know, when I saw LeBron say this last night, I thought to myself, the words that he's saying, you know, there's still games to be played, you cut my head off, and bury me 12 feet under, but as long as there's still games to play and I'm still alive, I got a shot, I got a chance. And the words, if you were reading them on paper, you'd say, wow, you know, LeBron is, he's serious, man. He really still got a shot. But I heard it. I didn't read it. I heard it. And I'll ask you this question. Did you believe LeBron? Like, was that convincing sounding to you? Or was that just, these are the things that I should be saying in this moment? Because he didn't sound like a guy who was believing what he was selling.
I think that, I think he realizes that this team is going nowhere. I think, if you're asking me that, under truth serum. But I think it can be both. I don't think it's an either or situation. I think he's like, all right, you know, we gotta try to win games. We gotta stay in this play in. And, you know, if we can get in and stay in, you know, I'll take my chances in one game scenarios for a while. You know, until I get to a series. And then a series, here's the thing with the playoffs, is that that's where I think coaching matters, right? So that's where, for everyone who gets on Frank Vogel, Frank Vogel's been a very successful playoff coach in his career. I'm not saying they're going to win a series, but I'm saying, again, I still, and this is what Frank said today, because Dave McMiniman tweeted this a little while ago. And he basically said, I want to make sure I find the quote properly. He said, Frank Vogel said, here it is. Frank Vogel on his final stretch of the season, how things could end up for the Lakers. Quote, if Anthony is available to come back and we catch the right matchup or catch a team at the right time and we're able to catch fire at the right time, we're going to have a chance.
If.
Right. But of course, because none of that has happened this season.
Right.
But
right,
not all of it his fault. Not all of it their fault. Some of it has been bad luck. Now, they have also played poorly. Those, again, this isn't just a one thing, like, one situation for this franchise and this team this year. There's been a number of different things, that variables that factor into this.
Yeah, but again, it's think about what Frank Vogel is saying. If we happen to get fortunate enough to face a team that's, believe it or not, worse than us, if, that's an if, and then if
well,
we
that's
get
not,
Anthony...
That, no.
Well, you don't
that's
think
not
that's what
he's saying,
though. Well, I think that's kind of...
Getting the right matchup doesn't mean they're worse than you. It just means you match up well against them.
All right. If we get the right matchup, where we are somehow better than the other team we're playing.
No. Matchup. Just whatever. Go. Just do what you're doing.
This is, again, back to Sedano and Cap. This is back to bingo, where Sedano flips the Cap logic. Just let me run. Let me roll.
Go.
If we happen to get lucky enough to face a team that's worse than us, if we happen to get lucky enough to get Anthony Davis back, if we happen to be fortunate enough that Anthony Davis doesn't get hurt right away, and if we are lucky enough that everything comes together perfectly, then maybe we might have a little teeny tiny chance to win a playoff series. Maybe. Kind of. Maybe if possible.
I mean, listen, if I said this to you before, and I'll say this to you again. If AD comes back and he's healthy, I wouldn't want to face them. I'm not saying they're winning a series or, you know, or a title or anything like that. But, like, I wouldn't want to face them.
I don't know why not. I mean, listen, I hear what Shaq was saying last night. One of the things that really stood out to me was there's nobody in the league anymore. There's no fear factor and there's no respect factor. You know, all these older guys that you looked up to and you had posters on your wall as a kid.
Sure.
That's long gone. We're on the same court and we're trying to win.
Yeah.
You know, and there's just the respect factor and again, I put it as fear factor. That is long gone of this team and of these guys and of LeBron in particular. That's not me saying that. I said it earlier to you. Who were they? They were playing Detroit earlier in the year. What was that kid's name, George? You remember who kind of got into LeBron's face? And at the time, I was like, yo, young fella, that's the king, man. You bow down on a knee to the king. You don't get in the king's face. And
Isaiah
you were like,
Stewart is what you're talking about? Oh,
yeah, Isaiah Stewart.
Yeah.
Isaiah Stewart. And then you were like, no, bro, this is a guy who wants to win. And on the floor, he's going to be a competitor.
Yeah.
Not somebody who bows down to LeBron.
Correct.
To me, at that moment in time, it's when I realized these guys, there's no fear of him anymore. And I say fear, they're not intimidated by him. The same way golfers were intimidated by Tiger at one time in his career, and then they weren't anymore. The young guys rose up. The young players
well, look,
of the NBA
Luka
are not
was,
intimidated
was
by
targeting
LeBron.
Him yesterday. Now, Dwayne Wade had some interesting logic on that, which makes sense, which is LeBron is still the best player on the floor at playing the passing lanes. So you bring him on the switch, so that way he has to guard Luka, and that way you can pick the rest of the defense apart. So while he was targeting him, you know, LeBron made it tough on him. He made some tough shots over LeBron. He got LeBron one time good, and then the other times were just really, you know, it was good defense, and he shot it over him. And there's nothing you can do about that. But Dwayne, when everyone on Twitter was going, oh, he's targeting Luka's targeting LeBron, Dwayne's like, yeah, he's targeting LeBron because LeBron's actually great at playing the passing lanes, and he's been doing that all year this year. So you bring him up to actually guard the best player so he can't play free safety. Smart.
Maybe, but unsuccessful.
I mean, it was smart, clearly.
Yeah, but just unbelievable to see this Laker team. We had this conversation yesterday. How could we have all been so wrong?
Yeah.
To think about where we were and how much optimism we all had when they got Russell Westbrook. And there were people that questioned it. I'm not saying that nobody did.
Yeah.
But to think that they filled out that roster. Oh, my God, Carmelo. Oh, my God, Dwight Howard. Oh, my God, Malik Monk. Oh, my God, this guy, that guy.
Well, I don't think anyone said, oh, my God, Malik Monk.
Well, but every time they signed somebody, we were like, wow, he's going to play an amazing role on this team. He's
no,
do
we
this.
Did not
he's
do
that.
Like, that's not true.
I'm just telling you that we overhyped this. And when I say we, I don't mean you
no,
and me.
No, we were
Laker
focusing
Nation.
On the three guys and, like, the role players. I mean, I don't know. I don't think we – I mean, we didn't do that here. I don't remember doing that.
I'm just saying that people were excited. Yeah. People believed. People thought
no,
this
they
roster
did.
Was
they
retooled
did. They
and
did,
they were
going to
be a championship contender.
Predicated on the three. All right, coming up next, speaking of the three, the Rams have three guys they need to sign. How many of them are going to get done ASAP? We'll tell you next. But first, a look at traffic with Kiki. Oh, yeah. This song also an anniversary today. Lindsay, what's the anniversary of this song? What year? 84?
1987.
87?
Wow, 87.
Oh, it was yesterday, 3-1. Gotcha. Love the Beastie Boys.
I'm trying to think about the Beastie Boys earlier than that, though. Before No Sleep Till Brooklyn, you got to fight for your right to party. I'm thinking that's probably earlier, like 84, 85.
Yeah, that was their sixth single from License to Ill.
Right, because then Brass Monkey was probably after that, wasn't it?
I don't know. I feel like that was, it was after No Sleep Till Brooklyn, I think.
Yeah?
All I know is Beastie Boys was like the first CD I ever bought.
Nice. Mike D.
It wasn't that one. It wasn't Licensed to Ill. It was, I think, whatever the one that Intergalactic was on.
I think it might have been called Intergalactic.
Might have been.
Yeah.
Weird song.
They actually, you know, it's funny. They were not a chart success until you got to fight for your right to party.
Yeah, that was a great video back in the day.
Yeah. But, like, those first songs, like Brass Monkey and Paul Revere and all that stuff, like, that stuff was not, like, a a that stuff was like more of a niche success, right? Where people just that knew the music were into it, but it was not like a mainstream success. And so you got to fight for your right to party.
Yeah, but Brass Monkey's one of those songs that even today, 2022, it comes on and the song is like 35 or 40 years old, whatever.
You play it in a bar and people will get down. Yes.
Dude, people go crazy when Brass Monkey comes on. It's still, that song is still fire.
Yeah.
Hear that? Hear that? That is what is known on the bingo card is when Cap uses age-inappropriate lingo.
Yes, for those that don't know the bingo card, it is on my Twitter somewhere. I have to go back and find it. But you can go find it. Well, ESPN Los Angeles posts way too much. If you go on my Twitter, it's like the fifth tweet down, fourth or fifth tweet down.
Way too much.
They do. They tweet. We tweet like too much. Like honestly, like we don't need to be tweeting that much about
over tweeters.
They do. They tweet too much. Tweet more about the shows, bro.
By the way, Cap, Intergalactic was on Hello Nasty. That's the album.
That was the name of the album.
Yeah, with like Body Moving. Remember that song?
Not really.
Body Moving. Body. Oh, I mean, that's one that you could sing.
Yeah.
That's one where you can literally just say the words and go, Body Move. And that's literally what the song was.
Yeah.
Was Brass Monkey on the same album, though, as No Sleep Till Brooklyn and Fight for Your Right to Party?
No, Fight for Your Right to Party. No, Brass Monkey was in the, was like, I want to say 86. Maybe it was. No, wait, maybe it was. Fight for Your Right to Party. It might have been on the same album. Yeah.
Wow, man.
Yeah. So anyhow.
Yeah.
The one thing ESPN Los Angeles does love to tweet about a lot is the Rams, especially lately since the Super Bowl, which they deserve, clearly.
Mm-hmm.
And there's some Rams stuff on there today. So Les Snead said, your boy, that contracts, new contracts for Stafford and Donald. Now, Donald, no surprise. Stafford, I mean, even you can't say, no, you shouldn't sign him to a contract.
No, you should sign him to a contract.
Okay, thank God.
Yeah, of course you should. I mean, listen, Matthew Stafford did what he was brought to L.A. to do.
Yeah.
And in many instances, he exceeded expectations.
He did.
And for that, especially at 34 years old, 33, 34,
mm-hmm.
Matthew Stafford has another 3-4 years, you would think. I mean, Aaron Rodgers is 37. Tom Brady just retired at 44.
Yeah, I would say Matthew Stafford, yeah, at least yeah, I mean, 3 or 4. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Drew Brees played until his, I want to say, 40 or 41. Phillip Rivers was 38, 39. Ben Roethlisberger retired just now. He's in his late 30s. I mean, I got to feel like Matthew Stafford could probably play another 3 to 4 years at least. So, yeah, I mean, he's the quarterback of the L.A. Rams. He's... by virtue of position and now by virtue of winning a Super Bowl championship, he's the leader. I mean, look, you got Aaron Donald and you had Von Miller. We'll see if he comes back. You got other guys that are leaders, but he's the quarterback. And by virtue of the position, he becomes one of the leaders. And now with the success, yeah, I don't see there's any reason why you wouldn't re-sign Matthew Stafford to a long-term deal.
Yeah, I would sign. I would. I mean, to me, it's a no-brainer. Like, let's go. Let's not wait.
The Aaron Donald thing, you know, I never believed that he was going to retire, even though there was that ridiculous Rodney Harrison report. Hey, I spoke to him and asked him if he wins the Super Bowl, would he consider retiring? He said he might. And, like, it turned into a you-know-what kind of a storm. Uh-huh. But to me, that's the smart move of an Aaron Donald to say, hey, look, maybe I'm thinking about it. And then what do? They give him a whole bunch of upfront money, which is what they should do.
Correct.
Because he's the best at his position and maybe the best to ever play his position.
And he's the best defensive player in the sport.
Not even a question.
And arguably, the best player in the sport, period, you can make the case.
I think that's you could make a very strong case that Aaron Donald, given his height, his weight, the interior defensive line, the sack statistics, and the way he disrupts football games, he might be the most impactful player in the game beyond quarterbacks, beyond receivers. Might be.
Yeah, it's very possible. So
sign him.
Sean McVay, though. I'm waiting for that to get done, too, at this point. Because, you know, he turned down the Amazon deal because he knows he's going to get paid.
But do you think that he will get paid anywhere near what Troy Aikman and Tony Romo are paid?
Bill Belichick is making $18 or $19 million. I think he's going to be in the ballpark.
$18 million?
In the ballpark, yeah.
Wow. If that happens, that is such a monster raise. Because he will have gone from $8.5 million a season to just, let's use the number, $18 million, a $10 million, a 60% raise. That's quick math, by the way.
You mean 120%
raise. Thank you. You see, I told you, it's quick math, you know. That would be insane, dude, to think that you could go from making $8.5 million to making $18.5 million, and not only will you have gotten a monster raise, over 100%, but you will have also surpassed by probably 40% Bill Belichick.
No, I mean, Bill Belichick makes $18.5 million.
Oh, I thought he makes 12.5.
I just told you he made. Did you not listen to the words?
I did not hear you say Bill Belichick makes $18.5 million.
Laura, did I say that?
Cap, I hate to do this, but you're wrong.
No, it's not about being right or
wrong. Wait, because everyone already just assumes Laura's going to agree with me.
No, but it's not about being right or wrong. It's just that sometimes we talk at the same time.
No.
I literally
started his point by saying Bill Belichick makes $18 million.
Yes.
Okay, then if you guys are telling me that,
yes,
I will go with it.
Okay,
you're right. I did not hear you say it. Did not hear it.
I feel like Sedano needs to go to Lindsay now first.
Yes,
when it comes to him.
Because everyone just assumes she's going to agree with me.
So now I kind of feel like,
But George, are you 100% certain that Belichick makes $18.5 million?
Bro, it was already reported during this whole thing. Yes.
I got to
say.
Bro,
trust me. Bingo.
Oh, here we go. The bingo. Bro, trust me.
It was reported.
That
was
two in a row right there. You guys disagreeing about something and then
I'm going to go do a little bit of homework here because I'm almost sure NFL I saw that he makes $12.5 million.
Ay, Dios mio.
There's another one. There's another one.
Let it go.
There's another one on the bingo board, isn't there? Or somebody suggested that they do get that they put that on the bingo board.
Yeah. Cap, it was previously reported that back in like 2018, he was making like $12.5 million per season.
Right.
But it is now, none of this is like confirmed since none of this stuff is really made public. But in 2020, it was believed that he had since signed an extension that would pay him $18 to $20 million per year.
Correct.
Now, I've been told that the way the Patriots work this Belichick contract is this.
Here,
I don't know if you guys have ever heard
of USA
this.
Today. Okay. Yeah. Bill Belichick is the highest paid coach in U.S. sports.
Okay.
And yes, $18 million. Okay. So starting salary.
Okay, but what I was told this, and I actually can't tell you that it's 100% true, but hear me out, that Belichick gets paid the money, let's call it $18 million, and then Belichick pays his assistant coaches directly.
No, I don't know, Cap. I doubt that that's the case because
his
assistant coaches are also a salaried employee.
I understand.
I would imagine that is against the rules.
No, what I'm saying is that the money is
you
dedicated
say he breaks
to
them
coaching.
Off?
The coaching, the money is dedicated to coaching. Okay, we're going to pay $18 million for a coaching staff.
We got a break. Sportico, who's the site that has all these like salaries, is $18 million just for him the first time in the new deal?
Okay, if that's the case, I will say I'll stand corrected. You should try this every now and again, George, when you actually are wrong.
I literally
did
that yesterday, actually, and I did it actually early in the show.
You did?
I did.
Would you say that you were
wrong? Egg McMuffin when we were talking about it. And I said, yeah, I haven't had one in a long time, so you're probably right. I totally imagine I'm wrong.
Wow, okay. Anyway, whatever.
You
Point
really
is,
aren't listening today.
Nah, eh, maybe not.
Wait, time out. He did say it yesterday because I remember, Cap, you did say, let's take that and cut that
correct.
Tape.
Correct.
Right, let's mark that tape.
Yeah.
Let's mark
and
that
the
tape.
And the egg McMuffin, I said you were right. I haven't
said
had
probably.
One in a long time. Yeah. Yeah. All right, we got to break because Laura's going to get in trouble, and don't make me want to kick you in the ding-ding, okay?
Or punch me in the bleep.
Yes. All right, coming up next, baseball. I've got the remedy because it sure ain't what's going on now, but we'll get to that next.